endorsement of Disney's creative artists, as well as confirmation of the crisis in morale that Roy had been trying to bring to the board's attention. We, the undersigned members of the animation community, wish to lend our full support to Roy E. Disney and Stanley Gold as they seek to uphold the traditions of excellence that once defined the Disney name. Roy protected the feature animation division from the new studio brass, who did not sense its continued potential. Without Roy, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and The Lion King would never have come to be, let alone the company's artistic renaissance and financial turnaround. But after a string of critical and box office successes, animation artists were increasingly locked out of leadership roles. In the new corporate template, we became little more than factory workers or unskilled laborers at the studio we had helped rebuild. Micromanagers from outside the medium fostered a highly toxic work environment, spawning a creative malaise that continues unchecked. The unique traditions of visual storytelling, humor, and personality animation, on which the Walt Disney Studio had thrived, gave way to politically correct sloganeering, stale one-liners, and film seminar formulae to which audiences have refused to respond. Mr. Eisner's rejection of Walt Disney's heritage has been a colossal failure. Yet this is a man who has been paid over $700 million in compensation since 1996, while the feature animation department has been decimated by pink slips. Now, skilled craftsmen go unemployed while the executive ranks swell. A unique American art form, the Disney cartoon feature, hangs precariously in the balance, reduced to the production of cheap direct-to-video franchise extensions made by committee. Without Roy, who will protect the 70-year Disney legacy from becoming no more than a hollow brand? Within 2 weeks of the letter's appearance, 4,500 present and former Disney animators, nearly everyone who had worked there, had added their names as signatories. The letter's salvo at Eisner, especially its harsh attack on micromanagement, did not go unnoticed, nor did it earn the animators any goodwill from Eisner. Weeks later, on January 12th, Disney announced that it was shutting down its Orlando animation unit, where Lilo and Stitch had been created. On Thursday evening, December 4th, 2003, a phalanx of limousines blocked the driveway to the Century Plaza Hotel, a curving high-rise in the middle of Century City, long the favored venue for Hollywood celebrity tributes and fundraising benefits. Tonight, Motion Picture Association Chairman and Chief Executive Jack Valenti is presenting the Pioneer of the Year Award to Eisner, a benefit for the Will Rogers Institute, considered among the film industry's highest honors. Previous honorees have included Cecil B. DeMille, Jack Warner, Daryl Zanuck, and Sumner Redstone. Only now, 19 years into his tenure as Disney chairman, is Eisner receiving the honor. He had previously declined invitations, insisting he found such events embarrassing, not to mention the fact that he was too young. But at the behest of Dick Cook, eager to enhance goodwill with the film community, and given the need to burnish his own public image, Eisner has relented. The timing seems auspicious. Every guest is handed DVDs